This is the Freedom Files, a Pursuit of Justice podcast focusing on a wide range of issues involving liberty and justice for people with disabilities, whether they are young adults or seniors or any age in between. Your host is attorney Thomas F. Coleman. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Freedom Files, a Pursuit of Justice podcast. I'm your host and producer, Thomas F. Coleman. Glad that you've joined us today. We have a very interesting episode that's going to feature Dr. Sam Sugar. I'll tell you a little bit more about him in a moment, but I would just like to say that I've had the pleasure of working with Dr. Sugar for several years now. I respect and admire him very much and the work that he's done in the area of guardianship and conservatorship reform. He has spent 10 years working in depth on this problem and bringing people together and hosting various forums and so on and so forth. So today's episode is going to highlight his work, what he's done, and then we're going to take a video clip, about 20 minutes, from a national symposium that he sponsored in April, and at which he made a presentation that impressed me so much that I thought it was better to just take a segment of that than to have him on with a question and answer session. So you'll get to hear in his own words his experiences with a guardianship abuse throughout the nation and his observations about the sad state of affairs that we're in today. We're going to start with some slides that we'll go through first, and then we'll play the video segment. As I've mentioned, today's episode features Dr. Sam Sugar. I've had the pleasure of knowing and working with Dr. Sugar for several years. We both share a common purpose of exposing guardianship and conservatorship abuses, identifying systemic problems, and offering concrete and specific solutions. Dr. Sugar is truly an expert in how guardianships are supposed to work in theory and how they're being handled in reality. His expertise has been developed through hard work, research into hundreds, if not thousands, of cases, with personal interviews of scores of victims of guardianship abuse. He's also solicited advice from many legal scholars and civil rights advocates to ground his reform recommendations in constitutional principles. Dr. Sugar has given many media interviews to print and broadcast journalists over the years, helping to raise public awareness of the national nightmare of guardianship and conservatorship abuse. He has convened any number of national and regional conferences on guardianship reform, bringing together victims and their families, scholars, and advocates to share their stories and present their recommendations. I'd like to call your attention to a feature story about Dr. Sugar written by Trinity Pierce, an intern from Washington State University, working as an assistant producer for the podcast and a feature story writer for Spectrum eNews, the editorial and news division of Spectrum Institute. The article is very well written. I highly recommend that you read it when you have a few minutes. It can be found on the podcast website, as well as through the feature story link on the Spectrum eNews page of our organization's website. You can go to spectruminstitute.org and click on the Spectrum eNews logo there to read the story. Dr. Sugar is a collaborator. He not only works well with others, he brings people together and encourages them to cooperate to achieve common goals. An example is a guardianship reform conference his organization sponsored in Tampa 2 years ago. He flew me there to make a presentation on accountability as a key to guardianship reform. I met with and listened to a dozen other speakers who shared their perspectives on what is wrong with guardianships and what needs to be done to fix these systems. Dr. Sugar responds to requests for support when he feels he can be of assistance and make a contribution. An example is when I asked him to write a review of a report I released last year on how to improve clinical practices and judicial procedures in capacity assessments that are done in California conservatorship cases. He wrote a terrific review, which I posted on our website. I considered it to be a real advantage to have a positive review from someone with his credentials. In April of this year, Dr. Sugar demonstrated the depth and scope of his talents. His organization convened a two-day symposium on guardianship reform. The first day included a dozen or more victims of guardianship abuse telling their stories. The second day featured scholars and advocates suggesting ways to reform guardianship and conservatorship systems. The powerful presentations are available on video through the website of AAAPG. That's his organization, Americans Against Abusive Probate Guardianships. You can go to aaapg.net. I was going to do a one-on-one interview with Dr. Sugar for this show, but after hearing a presentation he made at the recent symposium, I decided instead to feature a 20-minute video clip of his remarks there. They are concise, insightful, and heartfelt. I think everyone will benefit from hearing what Dr. Sugar had to share about his perspectives on the sad state of guardianships and conservatorships today in the United States. Let's listen to what he has to say.
I am going to talk about my personal 10-year odyssey in guardianship. My name is Sam Sugar. I'm a board-certified specialist in internal medicine, and I'm the author of Guardianships and the Elderly, The Perfect Crime. I'm the founder of AAAPG, and I woke up this morning very upset and angry by what I heard last night. In our presentations last night, we heard testimony from over a dozen victims telling us their story, their emotional, raw, heartbreaking stories of how they'd been so badly damaged in guardianship. And last night, I changed my mind. It is worse than I thought, and I'm going to tell you why. I think maybe I've been wrong for a decade. This legal obscenity, which we call guardianship, particularly professional guardianship, I have concluded cannot easily be fixed by legislation, because over the years I've come to trust legislators no more than I trust judges. They are too unpredictable. They are subject to whims, subject to influences that we never know about. And as a result of that whimsical kind of approach to get along, to play along, involuntary guardianships all run the gamut from merely unconstitutional, which is the best way I can put it, to overtly criminal. Administrative equity courts, and that's what they are. These are not criminal courts. They're not civil courts. They are administrative judicial courts run by either magistrates or elected judicial officers over the last 10 years and certainly longer have not earned the trust that we have placed in them. Once these proceedings start, outcomes are predetermined and legal posturing is a staged act. These places act like star chambers. If you don't know what a star chamber is, it's basically a court that all the actions are predetermined and the outcome is known before the proceedings even start. Contested probate matters can be assumed to end in favor of those who are pressing for the guardianship. These courts are predictably unpredictable. And that's why I've become so upset at all the trust that we as a country have put into them. 10 years after the fact, this is how I define abusive guardianship in one sentence. And if it sounds a little harsh, it's intentionally harsh. Probate abusive professional guardianship is an inescapable, opaque, tyrannical, extra-legal, and judicially orchestrated human trafficking racket based on lies, deception, and the intent to deceive, so as to permanently enslave vulnerable innocent citizens, seize and absorb all their assets, crush anyone who gets in their way, and dispose of its victims and evidence by severe abuse and isolation, slow over medication, based assisted suicide, and cremation to get rid of the evidence with all no accountability. That's harsh. Unfortunately, it's very accurate. I want to share with the audience today how I came to those conclusions, because starting 10 years ago, I had a lot to learn. I had to learn what professional guardianship is not. It is not benign or transparent or merciful. It is not easy to understand. In fact, it's very complex. It is not concerned with preventing guardianships, nor is it consistent with American values. It is not consistent at all with how we think and believe courts like civil court and criminal court should work. And it is not in the best interests of anyone but the court insiders. It is not inexpensive, it is poorly regulated, and most of all, it is clearly not in the best interests of the so-called ward. I had to learn the terms that get thrown around in these courts willy-nilly, the difference between a temporary guardian, a guardian of the person, a guardian of the property, or a plenary guardian. I had to learn that a guardian ad litem is not a guardian at all. It's usually a lawyer who's tasked by the judge with reporting to the court on the status of the person or case. I had to learn the basics of the types of guardians, the most common being family, the least expensive for poor people, mostly paid for by the state contracted agencies, the public guardians. And then I figured out that there was another class of guardian called private professional for-profit guardians. They're paid by the hour, as much as $95 an hour. Their billings are almost always accepted by the court. Their rates are never questioned by the court. And they, once they become professional guardians, can take any action they want with the ward that they own, just because the judge signs off on their motion, making it legal and unchallengeable. What I also learned is that if you stand up to the court, if you challenge the guardianship, the guardian and the attorney they hire are paid from the funds of the estate, but with unlimited hours. So the opposing litigants pay out of their own pockets. The court insiders get paid from the estate. Anyone who stands against them have to pay out of their own pocket. This seemed incredible to me at the time. I had to learn, even though I'm a board certified specialist in internal medicine, what the term incapacitated even meant. And to this day, I can't tell you what it means, because it could mean almost anything. The legal definition, and because incapacitated is a legal, not a medical term, is here on the screen and you can look at it. But the term is subjective, temporal, fluid, and can be interpreted as almost anything, from forgetting to pay a bill to getting lost to being in a coma. All of those can be considered incapacitated. And the slightest indication of even trivial incapacity often opens the door to abuse, neglect, and exploitation by court insiders. I had thought, until it happened to me and my family, I thought it only happens to the other guys. But yeah, I have solid advance directives. I shouldn't worry. My family would never let anyone do this to me. My family certainly would never do that to me. And besides, I have trusts and a clear will. I have a really nice family lawyer who will stand up for me. I have resources. I have money to fight against it should it happen. And, the courts, aren't they really here to protect me? And so, maybe I forget my keys, but I'm not incapacitated or demented. But I was wrong. It does not happen to the other guy. It happened to us and 7,500 other guys a year in Florida alone. Yeah, I had solid advance directives, and so did my loved one. But I found out very quickly that they mean absolutely nothing if they're contested, because the court can suspend or void them. My family would never let anyone do that to me. Think again, because family dysfunction seeds the racket. Courts routinely break trusts, and they break them to the point where there's nothing left to inherit from them. So the whole purpose of trusts and estate planning can go right out the window in a contested guardianship. The idea that a general family lawyer will protect you in probate court is ridiculous. They have no chance against skilled practitioners of litigation probate. They cannot be beaten in their own court. I have resources? No, not once your award. You can't hire anybody. You can't decide how to spend your own money because you don't have any. The courts are here to protect me. Yes, on paper, that's exactly right. But in practice, the probate court doesn't care about the statutes or even its own probate rules. It's a star chamber. And if you're forgetful and you think you're not incapacitated, just try to prove capacity, especially when you're involved with probate. You actually can't. I learned that a professional guardian can be authorized by the court to do all of the things that you see popping up on your screen. And the testimony that we received last night in session one is testament to the fact that this happens routinely in litigated guardianships. I learned over the 10 years that abuses of power within the probate court system are staggering. The ward, the poor individual who is the target of this system, is abused in every conceivable way, physically, financially, emotionally, medically, spiritually. The abuse of the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights is staggering. It's as though they don't exist once somebody brings up the allegation of incapacity. It's an abuse of justice. It is the ultimate form of financial abuse, because how much more abused can you get than taking everything you own? This all happens with no accountability, no risk, no oversight, no downside. And that's why I titled my book, Guardianships and the Elderly, The Perfect Crime. So I had to ask myself, why is this abuse still happening? Because it is the perfect crime. Demographics are a big factor. As you can see by this graph, the number of boomers is increasing daily. 10,000 boomers a day are going on Medicare. And the more boomers we have, the more dementia we're going to see. Whether it's Alzheimer's, vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia, frontotemporal, or other types of dementia, one in three seniors dies with a dementia diagnosis. It costs a fortune to keep them going, this amount of money for in 2018, and it's probably 20% higher now. And every 66 seconds, someone in the US develops Alzheimer's disease. And Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia are one of the driving forces that mitigate toward the creation of far more guardianships than ever before. But the real driving force in professional guardianships is only partly due to dementia diagnosis. It's because we bring it on ourselves. It's a sad reality, but family dysfunction, arguments among people who are supposed to love each other, open the door and make us easy prey for the predators in probate courts. It's hard to take care of a senior. End-of-life planning is a real issue. And family disputes make it even tougher, because if you've ever tried to take care of an elderly loved one, it's a full-time, really complicated job. And all kinds of dementia make it even worse. We don't know how to face diminishing capacity as a country. We don't know if we can rely on the senior's prior planning, or even where it is in many cases. Where are those advance directives that mom said she had? it's a real crisis for dysfunctional families. Because even if you've prepared your advance directives, they can be ignored. So can all your estate planning when you're in probate court litigation. Wills, trust, healthcare powers of attorney, durable power of attorney, insurance policies, annuities, your social security, your pensions are all forfeit the minute a guardianship starts. Your advance directives will only work in the absence of legal challenges in these equity courts. The lawyers you pay so much money to write your will and advance directives will not litigate to enforce them if they're challenged. Very few people really understand that. And there are an increasing number of challenges to these documents in probate because they're so easy to overturn. They're routinely obviated in guardianships. Trusts are easily invaded. Every financial instrument you can imagine is easily replaced and the beneficiaries changed. The same can be said for pensions, social security payments, annuities. All of that money can be easily redirected. You might think that very wealthy people are immune to this because they have such connections and resources. But here's a list of some very important and well-known people that have been threatened with or been in guardianships as a tool to attack them. Donald Trump was accused of being incapacitated in 2016 as a political maneuver. Buzz Aldrin, the second man to walk on the moon, came within inches of being placed in a guardianship when he had a dispute with his children who threatened him with a guardianship in order to take advantage of his estate and foundation. Last night, Casey Kasem's daughter was with us explaining that case. Peter Falk, who played Columbo, Donald Sterling, who owned the Clippers, Mickey Rooney, the famous actor, Joni Mitchell, the famous singer, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, who today is still in a guardianship and will be for the rest of his life, Amanda Bynes, a famous young actress and celebrity, and of course, Britney Spears, whom we're going to feature on our website in a couple of days, Nichelle Nichols. People will remember her as Uhura from Star Trek. All of these people have been enmeshed in professional guardianship messes. The fact that we even know about these messes is amazing because these courts routinely sequester all information regarding, I shouldn't say all, nearly all information, but the court docket about these hearings and proceedings. As a result, basic data is not collected. And as Dr. Teaster said earlier, the number of guardianships in any given state is simply unknown. Therefore, there's no data available. Therefore, no government initiative or incentive to give grants and funding to investigate it. For example, the Elder Justices Initiative, which was signed into law by President Trump in 2017, was never funded. The efforts of the Uniform Law Commission, which I'll highlight in a minute, have been stalled. SDM efforts have been stymied. Elder care coordination projects have not done well. Rarely are court insiders ever called to task, or even under oath for that matter. As was pointed out last night as well, lawyers in probate court lie all the time with impunity. Law enforcement will not engage with us because they don't consider what happens over a judge's signature to be a crime. And most importantly, perhaps, the bar, the single most influential organization in the United States, will never be approving any legislation which interferes with the income of its members. So I wrote this book. It's Guardianships of the Elderly, the Perfect Crime. And it's a system that's described in the book with no checks and balances, that with no warning can make you a ward of the state, strip away your rights, seize your assets, isolate you from the world in a lockdown, over-medicate you intentionally, make you a DNR, and much more. And it's all perfectly so-called legal, although I describe it as extra legal. Now, one of the things I promised my loved ones when I got involved in all of this, that I was going to expose this with my organization and my efforts. And the secret is leaking out finally. PGA, professional guardianship abuse, is not a secret. There have been hundreds of articles in the press nationally, internationally, but most of them have been acute reactions to scandals that are geographically isolated. There have been movies like I Care a Lot. There have been books like mine and others. There have been 5 decades worth of the Senate Select Subcommittee on Aging hearings. Not a single piece of legislation has come from them. Thank goodness we have numerous advocates with websites and their advocacy groups, lots of state-based legislative proposals. And even the Florida Supreme Court recognizes the horrible problems that exist in the guardianship system in its state. There have been efforts all over the place, but we still see too many cases like Joanne Baczynski, the heiress to a potato chip fortune, whose total assets were worth around $218 million. And because 2 fired employees wanted to hurt her, they started a process which wound up seeing this wonderful, beloved woman die in a guardianship, despite the fact that she had been a multi-millionaire, very powerful, beloved philanthropist, and it killed her, and it's still being litigated. Speaking of litigation, this is an interesting sign up on a highway in Pinellas County where a number of judges have become rather infamous. And one person took it upon himself, Bobby Grant, to put this sign up to get rid of that county's corrupt judges. And they're not the only ones. The scandals continue. They're being written about from time to time. Last night, we had Bradford Lund's stepmother on, Sherry Lund, for a poignant discussion about that case. Of course, the number one movie in America for a while earlier this year was I Care a Lot, and as been mentioned by Dr. Teaster, she thanked the dysfunctional American legal system for allowing her to win a Golden Globe for her portrayal of a devious guardian. More recently, the headlines contain these guys who, Representative Matt Gaetz and Representative Jim Jordan, are interested in having the the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee investigate guardianships because of their interest in the Britney Spears case, which, as I said, we will deal with very separately and very shortly. It's not a secret to the governor of Florida. He said a couple of years ago, there doesn't seem to be anybody held accountable describing guardian oversight. And in Florida, I cannot do this presentation without mentioning what I call the apex predator in the Florida guardianship's history, whose office was found to contain the cremated remains of 9 people, trophies found in the office of embattled guardian Rebecca Fearley, who, as much as I dislike her methods, you have to be amazed at how she was able to utilize this system for her own incredible enrichment by doing things like this, for which she's going to stand trial later this spring, by writing a DNR order for a person who didn't want it. So it's been 10 years. I've done a lot of work. I've done a lot of research. And it's still a thoroughly, thoroughly broken system where very little has changed in the last 10 years.
I was very moved by listening to Dr. Sugar's remarks at the symposium. They paint a bleak picture of the way in which society is treating vulnerable seniors and people with disabilities. But there's hope too. For example, Dr. Sugar provided me with an opportunity to make a presentation at the symposium. You can watch and listen to my 45-minute presentation on moving from complaints to solutions by going to our website at spectruminstitute.org. I'd like to end this podcast by thanking Dr. Sam Sugar for all of his dedication and hard work to create public awareness to the guardianship nightmare and to bring problem solvers together to push for meaningful reforms. If you want to read about Dr. Schicker's views on guardianships, read his book, Guardianships and the Elderly, The Perfect Crime. It's available at Amazon.com and elsewhere. This concludes today's episode of the Freedom Files, and thanks again for listening. That concludes today's episode of the Freedom Files, a Pursuit of Justice podcast. For more information, visit the show's website at pursuitofjusticepodcast.com. The Freedom Files is produced and hosted by attorney Thomas F. Coleman. Assistant producers are Emmy Deckard and Trinity Pierce. Recording and post-production editing is done by Amaya Griskowitz. Artistic and technical advice from filmmaker Adam Sauch, with podcast promotional assistance from Diane Coleman Rogers. The podcast is a collaboration of Spectrum Institute and the Law Office of Thomas F. Coleman.